Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald has called on Taoiseach Simon Harris to provide full answers to reports that aircraft carrying weaponry from the US to Israel has flown through Irish airspace. The Sinn Féin leader said the situation is, in her view, unacceptable and is a conscious and grave breach of Ireland's neutrality, in her words. The Department of Transport has confirmed that it is engaging with the airline carrier involved in the reports which were revealed by the Ditch investigative website. Jennifer Carroll McNeill is the Minister for Europe and she joins me now. Minister, you're very welcome indeed to the programme.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you about new EU job opportunities in the media today as well. But I have to ask you about this first of all.
Sure.
The Ditch website has said that Israeli operated aircraft which were carrying arms flew through Irish airspace. Now, the Department of Transport, as I say, has confirmed that it's looking into this. What's your response?
Well, it's very important that the department look into it, that they examine it, including engaging with the carrier concerned, because that is not permitted without consent. It's very, very important to say that we have very strong rules, both for military aircraft and for civil aircraft, who require consent, and that there have been no applications for consent received either in 2023 or 2024, and therefore, obviously, no exemptions given. But it's very important that people know that this is a really important part of our military neutrality. We do not allow aircraft to use our airspace if it's a military aircraft, that you have to have permission from the Minister for Foreign Affairs, and only where the state confirms that the aircraft is unarmed, that it contains no arms, ammunition or explosives. Civil aircraft are prohibited from carrying arms, munitions, unless an exemption is granted. But as I said, crucial, no applications have been received in 2023, 2024, mm-hmm. No exemptions granted. So the department is examining these media reports. And they are. It's important that we examine these media reports. Let us establish the facts, and very happy to come back on to you once those facts have been established.
But
it is important to say
important.
That it's not allowed,
and
no applications have been received.
So I think you've in a crystal clear way, you've outlined what the policy is, that you have to get an exemption. No consent was sought, you say, and no consent given to fly through Irish airspace. Was the government aware that these flights had taken, though?
But we are, you know, we're aware of flights that happen across, but these are media reports that we're literally examining.
I understand that,
now,
and you're aware of the media report. But were you aware before then that these flights had taken place?
But Cormac, I can't answer that because we don't have the facts as to what has happened, whether there has been a flight that has crossed with carrying arms. That's literally what we're examining now. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I'm very, very happy to come back in and discuss that with you once we've established those facts. But I can't speculate
on
that.
So the department is engaging with one airline, two airlines, how many?
It's engaging with the carrier concerned. That was the subject of the media report, and that it is examining it.
Okay.
The Taoiseach has asked for that. He's very clear in his view about the way this works. So is the Taoiseach, the Minister for Foreign Affairs. But it is really important that people know that this is not allowed,
and that there are very strict rules going back many decades, and
no applications have been received.
When did the department engage the carrier?
It's been since the media reports. Since the media reports.
For some days now. So how long does it take to ascertain if it flew through Irish airspace and if weapons were on board?
Well, I'm not. I don't have the answer to that, Cormac. I expect to see a response from this from the Department of Transport to the Taoiseach, who has asked for it.
Okay.
As you've said, he's in Paris. I expect to see a response that he gets that.
And if
but
it
I would
is
like
true,
to see a comprehensive response.
If it is true, and mm-hmm. if no consent was sought and none given, and it happened, what will the government do?
We would take that very seriously. And I think that most important thing now is that we establish the facts and allow us to do that before commenting any further.
I suspect an awful lot of people would be gravely concerned if that were the case. You'd take it seriously, you say. What would you do, though? Would there be any repercussions?
But Cormac, we are now in the realm of speculation. It is very important that the government establish the facts. And I don't think that that's an unreasonable thing in this world, that we take two steps. One, we establish establish the facts, and then we make decisions. Okay. We're still trying to gather the facts and establish the facts, which have come off media reports, which we take as important and serious, mm-hmm. but the department has to engage in its own examination okay. of the facts.
Minister, we spoke with Kira Rudik, who's a Ukraine MP, as you know, on this programme earlier, and Ukraine is asking again if countries supplying it with missiles and arms, if they're to allow them to use long-range missiles to strike deep into Russian territory. Do you think, what's your view on this? Should there be a change of policy here?
Change of which policy?
That they should be allowed to use, let's say, Western weapons to strike deep into Russia.
We, Ireland's view on what Ukraine is doing is that they have a right to exercise their right under the UN Charter to self-defence. They have changed their policy over the last period, as you know, and they've gone further into Russian territory. That is part of their right to self-defence. And there are different views in Europe in relation to that. But I think what we are very clearly on, you know, in support of Ukraine, absolutely unequivocal in support of a country that has been attacked in an aggressive and illegal way by Russia and its sovereign territory.
So is that
and
a
it
no?
is entitled to use its right of self-defence.
So, but okay, so sorry about this. Is that a yes? They should be allowed to use Western weapons to strike deep into Russian territory?
It is a legitimate right to self-defence.
Okay.
It is a legitimate right to continue to do what it's
doing. Are you concerned about what Sergei Lavrov and the Kremlin are saying, that if that were to be the case, that they'd look again at their nuclear position?
I don't think that it's not for us to go that far at this point. I mean, we're not terribly interested in that Russian position at the moment.
Well,
what we are
you,
is unequivocal in our support for Ukraine and mm-hmm. the steps that it has had to take. It has sustained nearly 3 years of illegal invasion, aggression by Russia, the murder and displacement and human rights abuses of so many hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian citizens. Mm-hmm. And Ukraine has an entitlement to exercise its right to self-defence, which it is exercising. And Ireland and the European Union is firmly and unequivocally in support of that democratic state trying to protect its sovereign territory.
Adjusting its nuclear weapons doctrine and that it's dangerous for Western nuclear powers to be playing with fire, it says.
I think, as I've said, it's very, very important that Ireland and the European Union are firmly behind a democratic state that has been invaded by Russia in an aggressive and illegal way, where Russia have murdered hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian citizens, committed appalling human rights abuses, and that we stand with a sovereign democracy who have elections, who have a government that is trying to rebuild Ukraine, keep Ukraine functional, and that we stand on the side of democracy and the sovereign defence okay. as it is entitled to do under the UN Charter. And those are the principles that we stick with.
I really want to ask you about the career opportunities within the European Union, because you might give us details on those. I know there's a new or revamped jobs platform in the European Union now.
There is, and there will likely be a competition for new jobs in the European Union. And these are exceptionally well-paid jobs for Irish graduates, but also for Irish people at any stage of their career and at any career, whether it's aviation, engineering, as a lawyer, as a linguist. But a graduate coming out of university who competes in this competition could have a starting salary of €92,000. And the Irish government wants to help Irish people be successful in this competition. We will support with interview training, with the exam preparation. We will do everything we can to help more Irish people get jobs in Europe. Historically, we've had really great success we've about 500 people working in the Commission at the moment, but we need it to be more. We want it to be more, and we want Irish people to do well there. We've had 2 Secretary Generals of the Commission. It's been a fantastic opportunity for Irish people in the past, and we are trying to encourage more and more graduates to consider this as an opportunity mm-hmm. and to compete in this highly competitive competition. But if they do, they have the opportunity to live and work on some of the most exciting areas that are happening. We've just been discussing actually some of the very serious issues that Europe is engaged in both right across the world. It can be in any field, it can be at any stage of the career, but the Department of Foreign Affairs wants to support Irish people to get these positions.
Do you think we need
to maintain and extend our influence in Europe.
Do you think, or is it your hope, that this new EU jobs platform might stop the exodus to Australia?
I'd certainly prefer that people were, you know, taking the opportunity to compete for jobs in Europe, where there are also excellent jobs. Obviously, there's always been, I've just talked about over the last number of decades, a tradition of people taking opportunities in different countries, whether it's in London, whether it's in the US, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Australia. In particular, I'm focused on these very, very valuable, very influential jobs that we're trying to help people get in Brussels. So we'd love more people to look at the Department of Foreign Affairs website, the portal that will help them do that.
I'm sure people would love another opportunity to stay closer to home as well, because we spoke to some people and I asked listeners to say, why are you moving to Australia? And they mentioned the quality of life, the weather, the adventure, the cost of living here, housing, that the social contract was broken, that salaries are better, it's not about money, the employers expect too much here, and on and on and on they went. I just wonder, in terms of the Australia thing, I wonder, is the government failing in its job to keep young people here, especially the young people?
I think that's really, you know, it's a really extraordinary thing to say at this time, where we have absolutely full employment in a whole range of different sectors, whether it's technology, whether it's film, whether it's financial services, that we have one of the leading economies in Europe where people can get jobs here. 10 years ago, there was 15% unemployment and our young people were forced to leave this country. Mm. And now in 2023, 2024, we have full employment and a fantastically well-paid, great opportunities
here. It's also the case. Full employment, but can't afford the rent.
But what you said was that the government has failed young people. And what I'm saying is, over the last 10 years, that is very definitely not the case. But it was always the case in 2003, in 1993, that Irish people left Ireland for different reasons, both at good times in the economy and at bad times in the economy, to get experience. And what I see in the CSO figures published today is another 30,000 Irish people returning to Ireland, having had that experience of living and working abroad, bringing back their skills, bringing back their expertise from London, from Hong Kong, from America, from all over the place, bringing back their skills and expertise to Ireland. And that has always been the way. And I spent time out of Ireland after I finished college. I know other people have. I regarded it as a good thing. Ireland is a small country. It is good to get experience abroad. There are different reasons and different pressures which encourage or force people to do that. But it has been part of the Irish experience for a very long time.
The influx
what I would
into
encourage
Ireland
people to do is to look at Brussels as
okay.
well, where there are starting salaries of €92,000 for graduates, 6 weeks holidays, very, very good benefits, and the opportunity to work on some of the leading, most exciting issues right across, whether it's agriculture, aviation, engineering. And if you're listening to the radio tonight and you have a young person in your house, or you're considering a change in career, if you're a lawyer working in Dublin, you'd like to work in the public service and you'd like to work on really exciting opportunities that are also well paid, that work, you know, 40 hours a week, and that where there are very significant holidays in the summertime, consider Europe, look at our website, and we want to support Irish people to get these great jobs.
Okay, well, I think some of the terms you outlined there will be enticing for an awful lot of people, no doubt about it. That's the revamped EU jobs platform. Minister for European Affairs, Jennifer Carroll-McNeill of Fine Gael, thank you.